This is the Golf Life Faith podcast brought to you by College Golf Fellowship. I'm Toby Ragland, one of your hosts. Another host is Jace Barber, and we are CGF staff members full-time. We love serving the world of college golf, and this podcast is going to be conversations with our PGA Tour partners, with CGF and other partners in the world of golf, and we hope you learn a lot. We certainly will along the way. Hope you join us for the journey and learn all areas golf, life, and faith.
Welcome back to the Golf Life Faith podcast. My name is Jace Barber. I'm one of your hosts. Normally, we'd have my guy Toby Ragland on here, but Toby is, he's just doing good things. He's actually working. He's caddying for a college kid this week, today. So he's not here, but we have my boy, DB, Davis Baxter, CGF staff in Charlotte, North Carolina. Davis, how you doing?
Doing great. Honored to be here. You know, being on this podcast earlier, I got off and said, wow, that was fun. I don't know if I'll ever be back, but here we are. So glad to be here.
Yeah, Toby and I thought about it and kind of came to the same conclusion, but we were really in a pinch the last few days, and here you are.
So. Championship teams are made by their substitutes. Everyone knows that. So.
Amen. Amen. And then you hear another laugh in the background, and so that is our guest today. We are joined by Ben Crane. Ben is a five-time PGA Tour winner. He's been competing at the highest level of golf for over two decades now. He's ramping up for the Champions Tour here next year. Above all else, all those things, he's a friend. He's a really, really good husband, father, friend of myself and so many others, a mentor. He's also one of the voices behind the Bible Caddy podcast, which our buddy William Kane started a few years back. Him, Ben, and Webb do that. If you haven't listened to
you.
It. Yeah, I helped. We're past that.
The big help getting us going. Yeah.
But if you haven't listened to the Bible Caddy podcast, please go listen to it. We actually did an episode with you guys a little while back. So go find that episode too. But beyond all that, what stands out the most to me about Ben is who you are, who he is off the course. You take your faith seriously. You live it. It's not just something you say. It's something you do. It's who you are. The Lord has transformed your life, and it has impacted me. It's impacted Davis and countless of others. You're just someone who's so intentional about living with purpose and living on mission, and it's just so cool to see it in the world of golf. So today we're going to dive into Ben's journey, how golf shaped him, what he's learning in this season of life, and how the Lord has been the foundation of all of it. So Ben, thanks for being on. I'm so fired up. We're finally doing a episode with you. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So DB, maybe you start us off, just kind of going down some college golf or something.
Yeah. Ben, I'm a direct recipient of your faithfulness. I went to your retreat in 2015 at your house in Nashville. But I think to kick us off, it'd be great. You told an epic story about your experience in NCAAs. I think that could be just a great warm-up to get us going. So if you could, tell us that story.
Yeah, a lot of – it's interesting because today, you know, we know a lot of people's story. You know, the Ford brothers – you know, we just had David on yesterday, Bible Caddy, and we get to know his story because of social media, and we get to know all this stuff. But, you know, a lot of times looking back, we didn't have social media when I was a young pro or coming out of college. And yeah, I don't want to brag early, but I will tell the story of NCAAs at Hazeltine, 2001. And, you know, two rounds of stroke play, and then there's a cut, and then you go into the final two rounds for who's going to win the national championship. And we're playing okay. The Ducks are probably the 30th best team, maybe coming into NCAAs, but we have our best team that we've ever had at that moment up until but we know the Ducks did win at Eugene Country Club a number of years later with Casey Martin. But when I kind of came on stage of the world of golf, I'll just set the stage. Hazeltine, beautiful day. Round two, coach comes out. I'm the number one player. The guys in front of me have all just finished or about to finish. I have six holes to play. And coach comes out and says, and I say, the normal question a college golfer asks, how we doing, coach? And he says, not good, but we can still make it. And I say, okay, tell me what I need to do. And he said, we're going to need four birdies in the last six holes for you to, if we're going to make it as a team. And literally at that moment, I was like, this is why I'm here. This is, you know, like, I am so excited for this moment. So I'm just going to lock in. And I know when you need a birdie six holes and, or four last six holes, you can't like wait because you might have a lip out, you know, some different things along the way. Right. So you got to start now. So, all right, what's the next right thing? All right, look in front of me. All right, I got 205 yards, par three, front right pin, tucked by a bunker on the right, and just playing a little into the wind off the left. I'm going to start at about 7-8 feet left and just let it bleed in right next to the hole. Step up, got my club, run my process, flush it right out of the center of the face. I look up, and I know that it's going to be in my window, but I don't see it, but I'm still confident it's in my window. But it's a little right in my window, and I finally kind of track it, and it's right, but it's the only problem is it's curving right. And so I'm like, I think that might have missed the right greenside bunker. So I walk up, and I've got a little bit of a problem. I've missed the right greenside bunker. Now I'm short-sided. I'm on hard pan, but there's something worse. There's a tree in my backswing about 6 or 7 inches behind my backswing. So I have no way, whether you're right or left-handed, it does not matter. You cannot make a backswing. And I realize I have to make par. You can't drop a bogey in the first hole. I need to make par at worst, maybe still birdie. So I kind of look up and I do notice there's some branches that are separated a little bit. And if everything went right, if I could get the ball up and over the bunker, I could go through the tree branches and just like two cups outside right. And you know, it's a hard right to left breaker. I could probably,
you know, and this is the thing, is like, man, with how much coverage there is now, imagine if this had coverage. I mean, this is such an epic moment. I wish there was coverage of this.
There, anyway, you know, there's shots man, where
there
people
is coverage.
This
is the painting.
There's shots where people kind of come onto the stage. So anyway, so I realize because I have no backswing, the only way forward here is to to bank the ball off the tree. Oh, I mean, how did I even come up with this, right? There's a little bit of a flat spot there, and the wood is like, you know, it's hasn't been laminated like for persimmon. Like, it's, the wood's not, so you know it's going to deaden the shot. I'm on hard pan. That's going to help speed up the ball a little bit. So I've got this little flat spot I'm aiming for, and I kind of line it up. Now I'm aiming my body away from the hole into the tree. I create a lot of angle. You got to be steep, you know, and get down on it with the left leg, a lot of pressure in the left quad. Quad's starting to burn as I'm kind of lining this up. And I kind of look back and I'm like up and through the trees, right to left, land just over the fringe there, two cups outside right. And I'm kind of just like doing one of these, you know, I'm like, okay, it's going to do that. Okay. And I'm like, I know I need to add energy. The woods, the tree's going to deaden it a little bit. And I just, you know, in this situation, I got to get it there. So I create a lot of angle and I get really steep on it. And I mean, I put probably 45 to 50 yard energy on this that only needs to carry about 26 yards. And I mean, I hammer it and I hit it clean. And I'm so excited to look up through the trees and see the ball. But at this point, I'm on the ground and something's wrong because I can't take a breath. And I kind of like, I'm on my knees now, can't breathe. And I realize the ball has come up and hit me in the Adam's apple.
Oh my gosh.
And then the official comes over. I got my coach there. I got some other players kind of looking over from the green. I got, you know, a little crowd around, whatever. And the official comes over and goes, that's two. That's two. I'm like, thanks, bud. Appreciate your help here. You're a great official.
So, Ben, was your coach on board with this shot? Like, yeah, this is your only option. Hit the tree.
I don't even remember, but I was locked in. I mean, I was reading I was reading it for when that ball lands.
Was this before or after the guy at St. Andrews, I can't remember who did it, hit it up against the wall? You guys know the shot I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Well before. Yeah.
Yeah. I think what happened was, I think it was, what's his name? Miguel Angel Jimenez. I think
that's right.
And I think what happened was he heard this story and said, I'm going to try this. Yeah. And it worked out for him.
He hit the wall and immediately covers the throat like this.
So that's the takeaway here, folks, is anytime you're playing a bank shot, just immediately duck and cover your back. That's amazing.
I think Tiger's hello world. You know, I'm hello Adam's apple.
Hello, Adam's apple.
That's so good. Man,
so fitting. And I think it's a good transition to just talk about one other quick little golf phase of your life before we go back and just talk through college golf. But you know, the golf boys, I want you to talk a little bit about that and just how it started, where that came about. And yeah, like, I mean, you're still considered, you know, part of a boy band, you know, the golf boys. So
our original name back at the time, there was a band named 98 Degrees. And the first name we thought of was 99 Degrees, 1 degree hotter. but we figured we're so bad at what we're doing, we should probably tell them we're golfers so they might have a little grace for us. But how Golf Boys started was, it was my friend Mike Meldman's 50th birthday. He was turning 50 and Discovery Land Company called and asked if I would do a 30-second video, sit down like this, what Mike means to me. I go into my backyard, I'm living at Vaquero, sit down on the back porch. I'm like, hey, Mike, we have so much fun together. You know, you're such a great guy, whatever. And I just turn around and I watch it back and I'm like, most boring thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, all right, plan B. So my friend comes over and I said, hey, man, I gotta do a video for my friend's birthday party. I'm thinking funny. He's like, funny's kind of hard to do. Like, you can't just jump a little over the line. You got to jump way over the line. And, you know, and I'm like, look. So we go up to my golf studio. I put on the stupidest outfit you've ever seen. Got my daughter's little sunglasses, some little tight outfit, whatever. And we go through my iPod, which, you know, you guys are too young for that, but an iPod used to like scroll in a circle and it would make these as you would go through the artists, whatever. And I went A, B, Britney Spears, the song Toxic, you know, whatever. And I just like literally start sending it in my golf studio, dancing, doing the stupidest, most crazy interpretive dance you've ever seen. My friend hits the deck laughing. And at the end of it, I just like do this little arm thing, whatever. And I'm like, I love you, Mike. Happy birthday. You know, whatever. I send it in and I don't hear back from him. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I sent that. That was so like, whatever. Anyway, they call me back a couple days later and they're like, I'm like, do you guys like it? What, you know, whatever. I'm like, who else is making the video? And they're like, oh, George Clooney, Cindy Crawford, Lance Armstrong, you know, Jerry Weintraub, who did Ocean's 10, 11, and like Hollywood, you know, Sylvester Stallone, you know, just some people like that. And I'm like, and me, you know, this bald, slow golfer, like boring, you know, whatever. I'm like, this is terrible. I send it in. They go, well, not only do we like it, we decided we're going to put it in the front, split it up, put it in the middle, and put it in the end of the whole show at his birthday party in Cabo. And then we're wondering if you would jump out of the cake and do that same dance. And I'm like,
out of the cake.
I'm like, what? I'm like, okay. So I jump out of the cake in Cabo at his actual birthday party. They're playing the song and I'm doing my interpretive dance, like just full send, unashamed. And the first person that comes over to me and puts his arm around me is George Clooney. He goes, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen. And I'm like, can we get a picture over here? So,
hey, what were you thinking about when you're in this cake? Like, are you thinking, man, this is going to be a hit? Or are you like, I can fall flat on my face from Hollywood, jumping out of a cake in a red jumpsuit?
I had no idea. It was all new to me. And then after I showed that video to a few friends, Bubba, Ricky, Hunter, they all were like, dude, we got to do a video. And I'm like, let's just all do one together. Let's just be the golf boys. And I had my friend Sam Martin write a song, and then I had my other friend Matt Carney write the second song, and we became the Golf Boys. And the morning of Golf Boys, Ryan Palmer was supposed to be there and be the fifth Golf Boy, but he said, my friend, or my son Mason, I feel like I need to spend some time with him today. I'm like, okay. So we were the Golf Boys, the four of us, and we just literally, then we played on Golf Channel, US Open Congressional, show it to Rich Lerner and Frank Nobilo. They haven't seen it. They watch it live on the set and they look up and they have nothing to say. They're like, what the heck did, like, they're like, this is so weird. I'm like, I know it's so weird. The next day, ooh-da-la-la, you know, we have this, oh, like little kids like yelling at us. We're like trying to play golf. We're like, what do we do?
Yeah. You broke the internet.
If it happened today, it'd probably be.
I just keep coming back to the cake moment. I mean, how many people can say they've jumped out of a cake? And then when you jump out of a cake, you're like, man, I was born for this. Let me wrangle in some other tour players. Let's make a dynasty.
Full send.
That's
full
incredible.
My daughter just had her 18th, or she's graduated high school. And so they have a graduation party. We have 500 people at our house, 8 other girls graduating with her. And one of the things we did at the end, just got a DJ, only rule is just clean music. Play whatever you want, it's just got to be clean. And all of her friends are around. And when the music goes on, like, it's just, sorry, it's full send. You know, like, I'm like in the middle, like, just full send. And her friends are coming up to me, Mr. Crane, you're the best answer. Like, I'm like, I'm terrible, but I sell out.
Yeah, that's right.
It's so fun.
That's like my 3-year-old son. He's terrible, but he just sells out. Yeah. He loves it. That's so good.
And I tell it's my awesome. Son Brady, he's 16. I'm like, look, girls, like, if you want to get a girl, like, a maybe bat a little out of your league, I'm like, you probably want to be the fun guy. You probably want to dance. Like, the guy who stands there like this, like, whatever, like, not that cool.
I love that. You got to be able to, you have to be willing to jump out of a cake.
Right?
For sure. For sure. Man. So let's keep it with the same flow. You know, let's just talk about college golf, turning pro. What did that look like? Because we have a lot of college golfers that listen and guys that want to play college golf. So was it super clean? Was it, you know, the D Ford route where you go and you win the Haskins and you get your scorecard starting in Canada next week? Is that what it was like?
Give us the metaphorical coming out of the cake in your pro golf career.
Yeah. Mine was, I had been playing intentionally with about 10 guys at my country club growing up. From the time I was sophomore, junior year, and asking them if they would potentially sponsor me because I wanted to go on the PGA Tour. I had a college golfer in front of me, a guy named David Liebeck, who was a hero of mine, played at Boise State, and I wanted to turn pro, and I knew I needed money. I knew I needed, like, help from members. So I started playing with guys, and this man named Jim Jettolo, who I didn't really know at the club, walks up to me one day, non-believer. And he says to me, big man, he says, hey, I had a dream and God told me I'm supposed to help you with your sponsorship. I'm like, really? That's weird. And I'm like, well, I think this guy and this guy and this guy. He's like, yeah, I don't think they're going to do it. And that guy wrote up, he was an accountant and had an accounting firm. And he went around with me to all these offices in Portland, Oregon, and told his friends, hey, you will sponsor this kid. We're going to give him 3 years of amateur golf, or I mean, of pro golf, playing any mini tour he needs to play, 3Q schools, all this, whatever, and we're going to get him on the PGA Tour. And because he did that, I raised $120,000 a year for 3 years, had no expenses whatsoever. They got me a car. I drove immediately to Florida, started playing a mini tour, then went to Q school that year, missed it second stage, and I was like, man, I don't want to wait a whole nother year to go back to Q school. It puts a lot of pressure on Q school. So I found the next Korn Ferry, buy.com at the time, Monday qualifier. I drove to it, had my friend come out who was a believer. I'm like, I want to walk with a believer. So he agreed to caddy for me for 1 year. and just do this adventure together, just be in the Word together, just encourage each other. And so we would drive to the Monday qualifier, we would miss at the Monday qualifier, and then we would drive the, you know, 250, 300 miles to the next one, and we would miss again. And then we'd go to the next one, play six practice rounds, and miss again. And then we'd drive to the next one, play six practice rounds, and miss again. And then drive to the next one, and play six practice rounds, and then eventually, like, got in one. Then I'd miss the cut, and I'd drive to the next one, play six practice rounds. And then, like, all of a sudden, I topped 25 in one. Anyway, the seventh one I got in was Wichita, and I won. And it was not the David Ford route. It yeah. was an absolute, I would find people at the Monday qualifier site to just bet with something to get some sort of competition going, whatever. And by the grace of God, my sponsor friend told me I didn't have to worry about anything. Just go play good golf.
That's amazing. Ben, a side question on that. Why do you think some guys at Monday qualify? It seems like sometimes, or a lot of times, guys will Monday qualify and they may win that week. Like, that's a story that's happened. Why do you think that is? I mean, you're one of those guys. So how does that happen?
I don't know. I mean, it's obviously the way I look at it is once you get so nervous, you're not going to get any more nervous. All right, so let's just try to play good golf. But I don't know. I thought after I even won that I had to go qualify again. I didn't know I was like exempt on the tour.
You're so driving anyway, to the next Monday.
I told the guy in the trophy ceremony, I'm like, hey, like at some point I got to get out of here. And he's like, where do you have to go? I'm like, well, I have to go qualify tomorrow. It's Sunday, you know, whatever.
That's amazing.
That's committed to your process right there. No, Ben, you're already in the tournament. No, I want to qualify. Let me qualify.
I gotta go.
Let me in there. So
yeah. when you Monday qualified for that week that you won in Wichita, did you think I can win this week, or were you I just kind of hope I'm going to have a good week?
At what point during that week did you think, oh, I've got a chance? I need to that's part of my thought process.
I think I was either leading or close to the lead going into the last day, and my scripture for that day was Ephesians 3:20. God will do exceedingly more than you could ask, dream, hope, or imagine. And he was doing it, and I just was like, okay, Lord, if this is what you want to do, like, help me walk through this and be obedient, as nervous as I am. So
good.
Yeah.
Did you believe that you could win and be the player that you are now, like, after you won that week? Did you have
people always say, when did you know you're good enough to win on the Corn Ferry? The day I won. When did you know you're good enough to win on the PGA Tour? The day I won. I didn't know. You don't know. I was literally taking one, you know, obedient step forward the best I could. And I would literally just like, I would just say to myself, okay, this shot right here, I might be a lot more nervous than I was, you know, on this hole, whatever, but like, what's the best I can do at being this nervous right now? And I was just like, all right, let's just do my absolute best. Let's just do that on each shot and just put one shot next to another. And we'll just add them up again. And I didn't keep my score. I didn't know what I was to par. I was literally just like moment by moment. Let me just do my best.
That's amazing. What would you go back and tell yourself, you know, way back then? Like, obviously you've had however many years in the game now, what would you go and counsel yourself, back then?
I don't know. I think the not knowing is really fun. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of us like want to know what's going to happen in the future. I'm not supposed to be anxious about anything, but through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Okay, Lord, this is what I want. You know what I want. But Lord, you have better plans for me than what I want. And let me just faithfully seek you, Matthew 6:33. Let me seek you first. And then all these other things will be added. You know, like, so I think just trust the Lord, you know, just like literally like lean all your weight and your heart and your hope and your future into him, you know, like he's the only one who can care for your soul. The proximity you have to Jesus is where your life's at, right? Like if my life's in a good place, it's because my proximity to Jesus is close. If I'm, you know, a mess and full of anxiety and worry, like, just get closer to Jesus, you know? Like, trust him and just take him at his word. He's been faithful before. He'll be faithful again. And he has, you know, all these things, Romans 8, 28, work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So it's like, just behold him. Just behold Jesus.
That's so good, Ben. I mean, and that's the hope of being a believer and walking in relationship with the creator of the universe, is that we don't have to know, because he does. Like, if you don't have relationship with Jesus, if you're listening right now, you're like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. If you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that he came, he died for your sins, and he resurrected, you will be saved. And when you have that, then you don't have to know. And it actually makes it more exciting, like you're saying, Ben, because you can just live your life in freedom, saying, no matter what happens, whether it's the way I want it to happen or the way that I don't want it to happen, but God knows that this way is actually going to be way better for me. You can, that's more freedom. But if you don't know and you don't have Jesus as the Lord of your life, then that is going to be scary. But if you have the Lord, Jesus as the Lord of your life, then that's like utter freedom. And it doesn't make it easy every time, but it makes it way easier. I can say that.
You know? So, and trustable, like his word doesn't return void. Like, what is the Lord saying to you? What is he calling you to? You know, are you living on mission? Are you so excited about, can you believe the gospel? Like it's the craziest news in the whole world. That what Jesus did, he did for you. Like, we're really playing on house money. When we're believing the gospel, we really are like, wow, I'm crazy humble, because I can't believe what he did for me. And I'm also crazy joyful, because he really did it. He solved my biggest problem in the whole world.
Yep. It's 1 John 1:4. Like, my joy, so that my joy may be complete. Like, when we get Jesus, when you get Jesus, your joy is complete. And so this is a great transition, the way the Holy Spirit works. It's just kind of talking through that and living on mission and whatnot. You've made a lot of money playing golf. You've had a lot of success. You don't have to hop on a little podcast with us. And even more than that, you don't have to do a podcast every single week. Doing, like, sharing this part of your life that is your life. Like, you could be doing a lot of other things. So just talk to the listener, to us, about why, like, you're doing ministry and playing golf on the side. Like, you're doing ministry full time. Why do you do that? Like, because there's other things that people would say are more valuable. Why do you do the Bible Caddy podcast? Why do you pour into others? Why do you disciple others? Just talk through that for a little bit, kind of as a transition.
Yeah, I mean, I do it because I can't not. I mean, I like, the joy of the Lord is our strength, you know, and as you abide in him, you know, as you trust him, as you attach to him, you bear fruit. And I'm not, you know, I'm a sinner that's been saved by grace, and I'm not where I want to be, but I'm certainly not where I've been in this Christian life. And, I mean, I'm desperate for him every day. I mean, 2 days ago, I was just on my hands and knees, just like crying out to the Lord, like, I need help. I need help with my heart, my anxiousness, my, you know, like, it's just, it's not a, like you said, it's not an easy road, but it's where life's at, you know? And, so why do I, you know, do the podcast? Why do I, you know, lead my Bible study groups? Why do I, you know, jump on this podcast? I love it. I mean, there's just like, you know, we just had 4 boys, William and I, lead a college golf fellowship Bible study at our house, for the college golfers in Nashville area Wednesday nights. And 4 boys got baptized, in our pool about 3 weeks ago. And, they all shared their stories, and they're literally from all over the world, and like why they, you know, ended up in Nashville. And then the fact that they became, you know, God made them alive And then they got baptized and shared their testimonies. And then they asked me to like speak at the end of it. Hey, William goes, Ben, you have anything to add? And I couldn't speak because of just joyful tears of like, guys, there's nothing more important in the whole world than what God has done in your life. I'm like, and I was with, I stayed last week in Knoxville with our friend Cooper's CGF, did CGF at our house. And it was just like, I said, Coop, like he had such a wonderful ministry with his team. And he actually traveled with his team, even though he didn't qualify for the events. He was traveling because he was loving and discipling the guys on his team, and the coaches wanted him around. And I'm like, Coop, if you'd won 5 times and you were 12th in PGA Tour, you or whatever success was, I'm like, it's not as joyful as seeing your teammates get baptized.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So good. Well, I certainly appreciate your faithfulness to do the Bible Caddy podcast, to have host retreats at your house. Again, I've been a direct recipient of that, so I get to thank you, and that's a joy. I want to know what your favorite Bible Caddy story is. This podcast has affected a lot of people, and I think that's one of the coolest things is hearing those stories. So do you have a favorite Bible Caddy story?
I mean, William has the best example of playing at Queen's University. It's a story from his basketball career where he was late to practice, and it's literally the gospel. It's the idea of what do we have to do? What can we do to be saved? Basically is the question we're wrestling with. And William has this story where he was late to practice, and for every minute you're late to practice, you have to run that many suicides. At the end of practice. So practice finishes, he's tapped, Kane on the line. So he runs, from baseline, free throw line, back to, baseline to half court, back, other free throw line, back, full court, back, right? So that's one. Anyway, he gets to like his third suicide and he comes across the line and starts throwing up. And he has to be on the line like in 10 more seconds. Coach goes, Kane on the line, in 10 seconds, whatever. And he realizes in his puke, he couldn't run the last, 5 suicides. And in steps Mustafa Diop, their All-American center from the synagogue, Senegal. And
synagogue.
I don't know where.
Synagogue. He's straight from the synagogue, bro. Just like Jairus.
And Mustafa says, in his accent, coach, I will run for him. And this is my favorite story just because it so shows us the gospel. So then all of a sudden, Mustafa Diop is running these suicides and William is sitting there on his hands and knees in his puke and he's watching him run the suicides for him when he can't. And that's just like what we do when we look up at the cross. We deserve to be there. Yeah. We can't pay the price for our sin because we are sinners. But Jesus, the innocent Lamb of God, takes away the sins of the world if we believe that what he was doing for us. And so it's like this. Anyway, you asked me, I love that story because it's the gospel.
So, week in and week out, you guys are looking at God's word. You're sharing stories like that. And this Crane, and at one point after Scotty came on, it really blew Bible Caddy up, and you guys have hit number one golf podcast at different times, which means a lot of people are hearing it. Mm-hmm. And with all these people hearing it, I know you guys get tons of emails and people are saying, hey, this happened. Are there any things that like stick out to you from those emails of people being impacted by it, or even when y'all have gone and spoke at a men's event, what's one tangible thing that's happened that you're like, man, like this is worth it. If nothing else happens,
this one
thing is worth it.
Yeah. So I have a friend named Chance who has been a part of our Friday morning Bible study in Brentwood. And he listens to the podcast. He works for Ed Sheeran out on the tour doing all the setup stuff. And so he's gone for like months at a time away from his wife and baby. And it's hard to be away. Well, we have this thing on Bible Caddy called Bible Caddy Feature Groups. And so it's basically like getting William's notes from the Bible study we lead on the podcast and then reflection questions. And basically our goal is to have our friend Jason Stubblefield help you start your own group at your own country club. You have the relationships. And so it's like, hey, we just want to tee you up. And so all you have to do is just swing at the pitch sitting on the tee ball. And so my friend Chance, who's now out on the Ed Sheeran tour, just left 2 days ago, is starting a Bible Caddy feature group with the guys who work on that tour, you know, whatever. And so just like Bible Caddy feature groups, I think we, you know, I don't know how many we've started right now, whatever, but we have a judge in Sacramento who has like a standing Friday morning breakfast with like, you know, six guys, and he wants to turn it to like a Bible study. And he's like, they all love golf. This is perfect. I'm doing this, you know, wow. Like, and I'm like, dude, how cool is that? These guys are going to be getting in the word together, you know, because of these feature groups. So that to me is like disciples making disciples. It gets me really excited. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's so good. Ben, I've got another question for you to learn from you. One thing I love about you is you are such an intentional man. When you have a conversation with Ben Crane, it's about things that matter, which is really, really cool. I want to know, what is God teaching you right now? And then if somebody's like, I don't know what God's teaching me, how do you figure out what God is teaching you?
What is God teaching me right now? I think looking, I'm in Matthew right now, and just the beauty of Jesus is far greater than we can imagine. The genius of Jesus, the way he communicates, the way he turned the world upside down with his teaching. I don't know. Right now, I think I'm just marveling at Jesus. It says he heals everyone. He teaches us everything, not to be anxious, how to not to judge others. And like the Bible is reading me, and like, it's what I need every day. So I don't know. But just humility, love for his word. And what does it look like for me to pray more, to just breath prayers throughout the day, like in little transition zones. I heard one pastor say, I rarely pray for 15 minutes, but I really rarely go 15 minutes without praying. And so just like, even interviewing David Ford yesterday, he focuses on scripture when he's on the golf course playing. And so I've got a lot of scriptures laminated I'm trying to memorize, and I just put them in my pocket. So yesterday I'm walking off the practice round tee, I'm just reading a scripture to my caddy, and just want to just build my life around the word and just stay connected to the word. And I used to just focus more on scripture in my yards book. In the last few months I've been playing, I haven't done that as much. I'm like, gosh, I just need to get those scriptures back in my yards book. I like changing it daily. So I don't know, just abiding in him and just be really intentional with the word, because from the word, from being in the word, it just seems like the posture of my heart just changes.
Yeah. So true. He's the vine, we're the branches, and we can do nothing apart from him. We got to abide in him. That's it. Well, that's great. I think maybe let's talk about one more thing. Before we do, I got to give a shout out to my Valdosta Country Club featured group. Thank you, Ben and William and Webb, because it's just been absolutely, it's unbelievable what the Lord's already been doing. The men that come, the stories that are already happening, like it, every week I look forward to Friday morning.
It's so cool.
And we're doing the Bible Caddy stuff and the guys are loving it. It's like each week a new guy's like, dude, I started listening to it. And yeah, it's just been awesome. But yeah, just as we wrap it up, kind of into Bible Caddy, you guys always do like last thought goes to you. So before we start doing a few rapid fire questions to finish it off, the floor is yours. Share one thing with, we'll specifically say a college golfer here. Like if you had lunch with a guy right now and he's like, I'm searching, like, I don't know what to do. And you could just share one or two things with him. What would it be? Like, it's just
Yeah, the first thing I would do is I would just ask him how he's doing, and then just pull on threads of what he's thinking about, you know, golf stuff, family stuff, summer stuff, tournament stuff. I just want to care for him and just enjoy what's going on in his life. What's difficult, what's going well, that kind of stuff. And then I would just say, like, what's your relationship like with the Lord and his word right now? Like, how are you prioritizing your time with the Lord? And I think the most important thing you can do is when you wake up is to say, okay, the most important thing in my whole day is being with the Lord. And that includes three things. It includes time in the Bible, it includes prayer, and it includes fellowship. So maybe you're away from believers, whatever it is. Okay, so how do I get into the Word and let the Word get into me and spend some time and read slowly and imaginatively? And before I read, I pray. Williams taught me just like, dude, just ask the Lord for help. So when you open your Bible, stop and pray and ask the Lord for help. Do you think the God of the universe wants to help you understand his word? Do you think he wants to help you enjoy him? Do you think he has good things to say to you today? You know, like he does. Pray, ask for it in every way. And then spend a little time praying afterward and just let the Lord speak to you, but also just cast all your cares on him. And then who can you encourage today? Like, so, you know, maybe it's sending a text, maybe it's calling a pastor friend, maybe it's calling calling Davis or Jace or, you know, one of the CGF guys, or maybe calling a teammate who's struggling. You know, like oftentimes I've got a few people who are sick and have terminal, unless the Lord chooses to heal them, diseases right now. And I'll just like pray and voice text them. Just tell them how I love them and the scripture that makes me think of them and that asking the Lord to just provide. So, care for others too.
So good. All right. Well, now we're going to transition into the first couple rapid fire questions. And I'm so pumped that we finally have you on because we go from our daily bread with the Lord to the daily bread questions of our bodies. So what is your favorite meal of the day?
Well, right now it's breakfast because when I'm home, I go walk in my garden and I pick a bunch of stuff and eat it.
That's so good. All right. So the follow-up is, what are you like? You're at home, you're in your space, you're putting together a full, perfect.
Do you want to see something funny right now?
Yeah. Get it. Yes.
You want to see it?
We were counting on this.
I brought this from my garden and I just kind of nibble on it each day.
Hey, so, will, by the end of the week, will you eat all of that?
Oh, 100%. I've already gone through about a third of it. So in there is bok choy. Someone asked me, what's my favorite thing to eat right now? I'm like, I think it's kind of bok choy. Like it kind of has a unique taste. You get it in most Asian restaurants, but I just eat it raw. So I've got celery, you know, kale, butter crunch, snap peas, all different stuff in there, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, just get that gut microbiome going. Just chew that up, you know, early in the morning before I. So, and then, you know, maybe chase it with a little bit of these. Yeah. So, and then just, maybe organic apple.
What was that? Real? What was the cacao?
Yeah, just cocoa? Cacao nibs. This is solid, oh, basic. Wow. One ingredient.
So just a quick little 30-second detour. My favorite.
Hey, everyone wants to know, like, what's the best thing I can eat? The stuff with one ingredient. Like, how many ingredients in this? Like, when you read labels, like, people will read labels like, oh, dude, it has sugar in it. Well, yeah, if you want to go that route, all right, a Coke Zero is great for you, and this is terrible for you. Like, come on, like, eat stuff with one ingredient. And we're gonna do
a full episode, a follow-up episode of Ben on diet. It's gonna change your life.
Hey, but Ben's gonna have
my favorite diet moment with Ben. I was caddying for him in Omaha, Nebraska, and we're walking down, I don't know, I think our third hole of the day, and he pulls out the best drink that there's ever been made. And it's the milk and the salt and a little bit of maple syrup. Unbelievable. Like, he introduced it to me and it's changed my life.
It's so funny. So he
pulls it out and he takes a few sips and he's like, "Hey, John, we're playing with our guy, John." And he's like, "John, what do you think this is?"
John Bach.
I don't know. Milk. He's like, "It's breast milk." And he's like, so Ben for the next 30, 40 seconds convinces John and his caddy
that I buy breast milk at the breast milk bank.
Like, he's
because it's so good for
him. I know that it's not breast milk.
Yeah.
And I'm almost convinced at this point he must have switched it out for breast milk.
Can you believe the health benefits? It's ridiculous.
He's like, "No, you silly, it's maple syrup and milk and whatever." But we were all convinced, and I even knew it wasn't.
Every tour stop, I try to get a hotel near the close to the bank. Hey, Ben, I thought, you know, the next thing you're going to get, the next sponsorship on your collar or something is going to be bok choy, like right here.
Oh, that's amazing. All right, three more rapid fires. I don't even know if it's three. I'm just saying three so we can wrap it up. Favorite golf course in the world that you've ever played?
Dude, Holston Hills last week is the most underrated golf course I've ever played in my life. It's so good, dude.
Hey, but you're also asking the guy that said his favorite major is the PGA Championship. That is
I didn't say it's my favorite. I did not say that.
He said it's the
best. Words matter, Davis. Words matter. It's the best major by far.
That is blasphemy. No,
it's the best. It's the hardest to win.
We got
to
keep it rapid. I love Ben's. I actually love your explanation of the PGA, and I think I would agree because of the way the points you put forward. But let's go back to the golf course. If you could fly to any course right now and go play it,
by myself or with friends?
That's the follow up. It'll be with friends. But which course you going to?
I'm going to take him to Augusta, obviously.
Okay, Augusta, and then what's your? You get four guests, so you're playing a fivesome. Who are the four that you're bringing?
Oh, I mean,
dead or alive, doesn't matter.
Okay. My wife, my son, Brady, my grandpa who taught me how to play golf, and then a pastor friend who was, I got a pastor friend who discipled me early on, Ron Mell, and I got to put obviously William in there.
Hey, love it. All right, DB, you get one rapid fire. Give us one more. We'll wrap it up.
Shoot.
Make it a good one.
Oh, man. If you have one, Jace, I'm having trouble thinking off the top of my head. But.
No, that's why I threw it.
Let me. What should you. Here's your question. What should you eat on the golf course? What should these young guys who are playing professional golf eat on the golf course?
There we go.
All right. So, what you should eat on the golf course is stuff that you get. You get protein and carbs. You need carbs right now. Obviously, milk is the best snack. So if you can have a little thermos, put some milk in there. If you get raw milk, it's even better. But just milk in there. Just get some organic milk. Put 2 tablespoons of maple syrup, and then put a pinch of sea salt in there. And I'm telling you, like on the 6th or 8th hole, when you don't really want to eat, but you probably should have something, that is a great snack. And then I do a sourdough bread, butter. Some almond butter, honey, and salt, and cut that baby in half, put it in a little Ziploc, whatever, and then on like the 14th hole, it's just like living.
Boom. Boom.
That's incredible.
So make sure in the morning you get the bread of life, spend some time with the Lord, and then make sure on the 6th to 8th hole you were eating some sourdough bread, and you will be set. You'll be set. Well, Ben, dude, that was so enjoyable. So much. Gosh, we could literally talk for hours. We should turn this into a Joe Rogan type podcast and go for 3 hours. But no, seriously, Ben, thank you so much. DB, always good to be with you.
Love you, boys. So respect you guys. So thankful to be with you guys.
Absolutely.
Likewise.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time to listen to the Golf Life Faith podcast. Whether you're a college golfer, a coach, or you just love golf, we'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions, please email us at podcast@collegegolffellowship.com. Also, check us out on Instagram @collegegolffellowship and on Twitter @CGFTweet. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast and be on the lookout for the next episode next month. Cheers.